Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Religious Education for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alaria, and I'm here with my guest, Melissa Juarez, the Executive Director at Hope House. How are you, Melissa?
I'm fine, thank you.
I really love these kind of programs. Anytime I bring in people to talk about, like, Rachel's Vineyard or Refuge of Hope, I really love speaking about what people are doing to help women, sometimes even men, but women in general and their children, and particularly because I've had some complications in my pregnancies, and I can just imagine women who are without a home. That's in particular what Hope House helps with. And I pray for them a lot. And I do think of women who are trying to get pregnant, who are trying to sustain themselves and just have some difficulties, our young women as well, teenagers. And so this program is really dear to my heart, and I'm glad to have you with us. Can you share with us a little bit about yourself?
Well, my name is Melissa. I'm married to Gilbert Juarez, and we have two children. Well, grown adults now. Our oldest is 26, and our youngest is 21. And I work for the Hope House, trying to help, you know, women, children, babies born and unborn, crisis pregnancy.
So is this a crisis pregnancy center then?
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
How long have you been the executive director there?
Actually, I'm going to be executive director 3 years, April 1st.
All right. Congratulations. Yeah. So tell me, what got you to this field? Why do you like helping women in need?
Well, I've always had an interest in it, but never really got into it. I used to see the people pray like at the abortion mill, and I always wanted to go. For whatever reason, I never ended up there. But then I started teaching natural family planning, and through that, we went to Ms. Therese Bettis. She was the director then, and asked her if, you know, I could just put the education out there for the women, let them know about NFP. And she said, yes, please do. And while I was there, I volunteered, fold clothes, and just started learning what they did. And then I was asked to be office manager and then executive director, so...
And your heart just goes out to these women, I'm sure.
Yes. You see, you know, so many different ones, and it's hard, you know, because they are going through a lot, and you want to help them all, and you want to do everything, but, you know, you have to, we're trying to be there for them, their support, trying to get them, you know, maybe to the next step, but you got to take, you know, baby steps is what we tell them.
Sure, and I'm sure there's some limitations and some precautions and just things you have to look at, and every scenario is different. So in general, then, with Hope House, what is your mission?
Okay. Well, we want to help moms who are pregnant or moms with young children. We also help, you know, dads with the children. Our shelter, we have two shelters. One's called Birth Haven, the other one's Faith Home. And moms come and stay with us, and... just the situations are different. Like you said, you know, maybe it didn't work out with husband. It didn't work out with boyfriend. Maybe they were living with mom and dad. It didn't work out. And so we want them, you know, to be in a safe place. And that's what we offer for them.
Okay. So as a crisis pregnancy center, you have homes that they can come and stay in.
Yes. We have, like at our faith home, it's more like dorms where it's individual rooms, and we can put at least seven moms there, and whether they're pregnant or maybe they're pregnant and have a small child, because like I said, they're individual rooms, but they have the common area of the living room, you know, kitchen and all that.
Okay.
And then at Birth Haven, they're more, they're apartments. And we put moms who might have multiple children, you
okay.
know, so they have their individual space.
Okay.
And then we have house monitors that, you know, watch both. And we have life skills classes for moms. that they're required to come to so that we can help them, whether it's discipline, potty training.
I can always use help with that. Discipline.
Yes. And whether it's how to go on a job interview.
Well, what are the requirements then for these women to live there? Do they have to go to work or go to school?
Definitely. While they're living there, they have to either go to school, mm-hmm. Look for a job, have a job, or a trade okay. of some kind. That way, you know, like I said, they can take the next step in being a better mom, you know, a better parent to their child.
Now, you mentioned a couple of things. One is that you help fathers, too.
Yes.
So these are fathers that have children that are homeless?
Yes. We just received a grant where we can help. Maybe it's mom and dad, and they're just out for right now.
Okay.
We have an alternative shelter for that. Or if it's dad alone, you know, but they have to have dependent children. And those are the ones that we help. And we do the same thing with them. They're required to come to life skills classes, look for a job. You know, we're not just a shelter where they can, you know,
hang out. Well, you want to you want to offer the best that you can for them. And if what about like GED classes, if they need help doing that?
If they need GED classes, they will register, you know, for that. And we can help them, whatever. We've even had some moms who have had their high school diploma, mm-hmm. and they're going to college.
Okay.
We've helped them. Just recently, I believe it was last summer, we had a mom who graduated with her bachelor's from A&M.
You get people from all ages and stages of life. Now, do you get, like, some teenagers?
We have had maybe 17-year-olds who mm-hmm. can stay. They have to be emancipated. And the teenagers, we have to work with them. You know, we are not licensed to have teenagers in the home.
Oh, younger ones.
Yes.
Okay, but 17 and emancipated from their parents. And,
yes, ma'am.
Okay. So you offer some services for them. You offer life skills classes. Do you help them try to find a job?
We will, you know, give them different we have, like, we work with Goodwill sometimes mm-hmm. or Workforce. You know, they'll go over there and see if, you know, they can get some type of job. You know, if we see so-and-so has openings, why don't you go try that? We have, since now everybody does it on the computer, we have computers for them to, you know, apply online, things like that.
Okay. So then you also mentioned that there are house monitors. Does that mean that these house monitors live in the shelter 24/7? Or
no, the house monitors we have right now do not. They come in maybe about 4 or 5, and they stay overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then on the weekends, pretty much the same thing. Because they are grown women, but, you know, especially you have a whole bunch of women in one house, you got to kind of, you
know. In a dorm kind of setting.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, and they're there. They have dinner with them, you know, listen to them, pray with them. They're there, you know, trying to be a support also.
So they're mentors then. They can also be mentors.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, you mentioned dinner. Let's say some are going to school, and where do they get their funding to eat? How do y'all work that out?
We do have a food pantry for our residents, but a lot of the women that are there, they are on food stamps, so they'll get that. The house monitors might they bring in their own meals. You know, like when you have a job, you bring in your own lunch or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they bring in their dinner, but we've had them where maybe it's somebody's birthday, and the house monitors are really kind, and they'll bake them a cake or a dinner and, you know, invite all the rest of the residents over.
Well, what a blessing, because people in their time of needs, mothers, fathers, are able to get a roof over their heads, are able to get some training to better their future. They're able to get, you have the food pantry, so they're mm-hmm. able to sustain themselves. And really all you ask is that they are either looking for a job, working, or going to school.
And following the rules. You know, there's, you know, like I said, they're adults, but everybody has to follow rules. And we have rules like they have to be out of the house by 8:30, going to look for that job, or going to school, going to class. And they can come back at 3:30 and start doing what they need to do. But they can stay out as late as 10 on weekdays and 11 on weekends, unless they have an infant child, like 6 months and younger.
Mm-hmm.
They need to come in at 9 every day.
Okay, so is that for their protection?
Yes, and, you know, that way, too, for the house monitors to make sure everybody's in, things like that. If we have a mom, and we have had this before, maybe she works at the mall mm-hmm. or her job keeps her out till 9, we'll work with her. You know, as long as we have a job schedule that says that she's working till 9 or 10 if it's, you know.
So in other words, you don't want people coming in like at 1 or 2 in the morning.
Exactly,
and,
yeah.
Okay. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. I have a lot of other questions for you, and stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
On Good Friday, April 3rd, the parishioners of Our Lady of Good Counsel Church in Kingsville will present their live Stations of the Cross. Everyone is invited to attend the procession and encouraged to dress in attire from that time period. This Lenten reflection of Jesus' journey to Calvary will begin at 6 p.m. at Our Lady of Good Counsel, 1102 Clayburg in Kingsville. For more details, please call 361-592-3489.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. Again, I'm here with my guest, Melissa Juarez, Executive Director of Hope House, and we've been talking about all the things that Hope House does and sharing some stories, talking about how your mission really is to help men and women, both, that have children or may be expecting, and even some families, you said, to prevent them from being homeless and providing them a safe haven for the time that they're in need. And I think that's so important. When I was in high school, we had here in Corpus Christi, we had one of the few nurseries at the high schools. But then the trend was that every high school needed a nursery. And so obviously that means that our young women are getting pregnant and sometimes their parents don't want them around. And so that was an interesting trend when I was going up. But you get women of all ages. Is that right? There's not like one certain age that you get.
No. Yeah. We have the ages do vary. We have had maybe women in their 40s.
Okay.
And like I said, the youngest we've had is 17.
Okay.
So
17 to 40.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, how long has Hope House been around?
We've been around. We actually just celebrated 25 years last September. We had the one big fundraiser that we have is Celebration for Life, and we had it in September. They started in 1986. Just a community of people came together, opened a nonprofit to help these homeless moms. Actually, they started with a house, a three-bedroom house.
Okay.
And that was called Hope Home.
Okay.
And from there, you know.
It just grew. So obviously there was a need, and that need grew because now you have two facilities.
We have two facilities, and we're actually working on getting another one. At last year's Celebration for Life, someone donated specifically so that we can get another shelter. And we were actually looking around where we're at, the apartment complexes there, and that didn't go through. So we're building in the back of our faith home.
Okay, so you have a spot ready.
Yes.
And have you started building, or you're waiting for any funding? Or
well, we have that one that was specific for getting another shelter. Mm-hmm. That's the funds that we're going to use. And we've looked into, you know, some people have come and looked at, you know, the space that we have. What can they do there? We have the plans.
So the process has gotten started. Now, can people call Hope House and donate any funds for things like that?
Oh, always.
Okay, so tell me, how can the community support Hope House?
We have our donors, our gung-ho donors, you know, that'll send us every month and things like that. You know, whether it be money or whether it be like diapers, baby clothes, anything like that, all they need to do is call us and we can find out, you know, where they want to help, and, you know, we'll let them know.
Okay, so they'll ask, what needs do you have? So then you all are able to give some clothing and diapers to these families?
Yes, we do that through our Gabriel Project, which is our outreach community program. Any mom or dad, you know, can come in, and if they need diapers, that's what a lot of them come in for, is diapers. So if anybody wants to do a diaper drive, that's something big that, you know, we're always needing. If they come in for baby bottles, some people will donate formula, baby food, baby clothes, all of that, and strollers, cribs, and if, you know, that you come in and you need that, here it is for you, you know.
Okay. Because some of these families come in and they literally have nothing.
Exactly.
Except the clothes on their back.
Yes, ma'am. Like for the residents who live there, of course, you know, they'll get the shelter and then we'll help them, like I said, with our food pantry. If they need a stroller, we have the strollers for them. Some of them do come and they have a vehicle, so they might need a car seat for their child. We have that for them. So we try to help them. Like I said, whatever we have, if we can give it to them, we will. The same with the Gabriel Project people, community. If they come in, you know, and it's there, here you go, you know, trying to help them.
Now, we were speaking briefly about what else you offer the community. So I understand that if there are families that need some assistance, if they meet certain criteria with rent, you're trying to prevent homelessness. So you don't want to, you want to get them before they're evicted.
Yes.
Can you all help with that?
Yes, we do have a program where, like you said, we're trying to prevent homeless, for people to become homeless. So they'll come in and make an appointment with our case manager, and we can either help catch them up on their rent, or let's say they're in a shelter like our residents, or if they're coming from another shelter, but they found a place, we can help them with their deposit.
Okay.
And the first month's rent.
Deposit can be very expensive, almost as much as the first month's rent.
Exactly.
Okay.
And, you know, and a lot of these people, especially from the shelters, you know, they just got their job, so they don't have that money yet and to go into from the shelter to an apartment. So
okay.
There we are trying to help them. That way they can get into their apartment, and now they, you know, they have their job where they know they can make their next month rent.
So like you, the words self-sufficiency come to mind. So you're really trying to help them maintain themselves as a family and move forward.
Yes, ma'am. That's our mission, you know, trying to help these so they can become better or, you know, self-sufficient moms, dads. And, you know, better parents for the little guys, the little kiddos.
So let me ask you, how long, I know it varies, but how long can the residents stay there?
Like you said, it does vary. Each one is case by case. We've had them stay months. Since I've been there, I think the longest I've known someone to stay there is a year. And then we have some who will stay a week, you know, either because they got back with family or they decided this wasn't the place for them. You know, like I said, case by case, but everybody's different how long they stay or...
That reminds me. So if people come and go, is the shelter usually always full?
A lot of times we are. We usually have a waiting list also.
Oh, I see.
And what happens is we ask them to get on the computer and they go to our website and they can get an application. And once that application is in, they'll put them on the waiting list. And just depending when our residents leave, they'll call the next person. And maybe that next person already found a place. So then we'll go to the next person. So it can't really say how long the wait is, but that's more or less how it works.
Okay. Now, let's go back to the Gabriel Project. So I do see some signs in front of churches. Is that the same thing that we're talking about?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Excuse me. Yes, ma'am. That is our phone number on there for them to call us wherever they might need help.
So does it vary from counseling services to some diapers or?
Yes, definitely. If they come in, they're wanting to talk, you know, they just need to talk to somebody. We do have a council room where they go in and they just talk. They can talk about baby issues, you know, they can talk about, you know, anything they feel like talking about. We even offer if they need somebody to pray with, you know, we can refer them to somebody to pray with or pray with them, just depending who the counselor is.
So that's a good question. Is this necessarily a faith-based organization?
We are faith-based. We offer, like I said, if they are wanting it, we don't force it on anybody, but if they're wanting it, you know, do you know somebody I can pray with? Will you pray with me? That kind of thing.
Okay, so that's different from some pregnancy counseling centers that if you come to visit me, I'm going to open scripture right away and start talking
right
to you about Jesus. I mean, you look at what their needs are, you try to service their needs, and then you offer different faith-based things.
Yes, we let them know that mm-hmm. we have it if they want it.
Okay.
All they got to do is let us know, and we can, you know, tell them, okay, this person will pray with you.
Or if they want to know where the local churches are
mm-hmm.
or things
exactly.
like that. Okay, wonderful. So now you talked about this upcoming facility that you're hoping to build. Someone donated at the last Celebration for Life, was it?
Yes.
Some funds specifically for that. So obviously there's still a need in the community for a new housing development to be built. Is mm-hmm. that right?
Yes, ma'am. Because like I said, we tried looking at the ones, because we want to keep them close.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at those different apartments. But I guess nobody was ready to sell yet.
Okay.
So we're going to have that space in the back. And it's going to have, well, right now we're looking at least 5 more rooms.
Oh, okay, good. So are you waiting for any more funding or are you just waiting to start building?
Both. You know, we're like I said, looking at the plans of what it's going to cost and things like that. And of course, you know, you're always probably going to need more than what you have because every little thing comes up and you need more money for that.
That's right. And you're accommodating families, basically. I mean, mothers, fathers with children.
Yes. Our moms will still go back there and we can maybe put mom with children, multiple children,
mm-hmm.
like we do in the apartments. Or if it's mom who's just pregnant, we'll put her in one room. So it'll have 5 rooms. We can put up to 5 moms, but we might have to put 3 families, you know.
Okay, like I see. Now, I'm really excited about this as we close up. Are there any, maybe a story that you can recall that really touched your heart in the 3 years that you've been executive director?
So many.
I can imagine there's a lot, yes.
Yeah. It's very rewarding working there, being able to help these different moms, you know. Those that really take off and then they come back and say, thank you so much, you know, or I refer people here because y'all did a great job, you know, and now I'm working and I have my own apartment that, you know, that's wonderful to hear. But it's also kind of sad sometimes because you have those that, you know.
That are just not there yet.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. they might end up at another shelter or something like that. But we had this one mom, and it's difficult because you like I said, you want to help everybody. Moms with one child, a lot of them have to go on the bus. And moms with one child, it's hard. But if you have 2, 3, 4 kids, it's even harder.
Oh, yes.
And we did have that one mom. She had 4 children. And it was hard, you know, getting on the bus. And then she's feeling bad because everybody's staring at her, you know. So we try to help her and, you know, take her. Whether it was to daycare or to that job interview, things like that. So we try to get what we call Gabriel Angels. Maybe those people can come in and sit with mom and talk with mom and maybe take her to the doctor visit, things like that. But that one mom, it was just very touching to, I mean, she wouldn't give up. She didn't give up.
That's good. Because I can imagine sometimes people can feel like they want to give up. And so you're always in need of volunteers, yes?
Oh, always, yes.
All right. Well, Melissa, thank you so much for the ministry that you do. And stay with us. Deacon Nolte with Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
It has been said that life is like the fruit that surrounds the seeds of an apple. The apple is our soul, and the seeds are the Word of God embedded in our very being. The purpose of the fruit of the apple is to be food for the seeds held in its core. The purpose of our life is to enflesh the Word of God, to allow us to live what God has willed. In the late 1700s and early 1800s, there was a man who lived in the colonies that became the United States. He grew up in the midst of the Revolutionary War and the early years of our country, and during his lifetime, he became well known for his generosity and kindness, eventually becoming something of a legend. You may know him better as Johnny Appleseed. He was a nurseryman who promoted the goodness of apples, going so far as to travel around several states, planting trees, and giving away apple seeds. What many people don't know is that John Chapman, or Appleseed, as he is sometimes called, was a religious man who preached the gospel to everyone he met. Today we live in a society that tells us that the only thing that matters is what we desire. At every turn we are confronted with messages telling us that all of life is relative, that if it feels good, do it, that we can have it our way, and that it is the me generation. These messages are so strong and so loud that it takes only the sight of a symbol to remind us that we are set apart as individuals. Unconsciously, we adopt these messages as our own and believe if we wear one brand rather than another, we are somehow better than others, that if we own this one thing, that we are ahead of the others, and being ahead is all that matters. The seeds of the apple contain the truth of all that the apple is. They carry the past of the apple, its evolvement through drought and fire, flood and good soil, into a particular type of apple, bearing a distinct flavor, size, and color. The environment and the apple itself determine the growth of those seeds. Will they sprout and bear fruit, or will they lay dormant and die because the apple failed to nourish them? The Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that God created everything for man. Man, in turn, is created to serve and love God and to offer back all of creation to Him. This means that the environment around us, indeed all of creation, is for our use, but with that use comes responsibility. To guide us in the use of creation, God inscribed His Word in our hearts. He planted His words as seeds within our very soul, which contain the truth of who we are, created in His image and likeness, to know Him and love Him. We can choose to live according to the Word, allowing it to grow within us and determine our future, or we can deny it. St. Francis of Assisi said, "You must preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words." If we embrace God's Word and allow our life to proclaim His gospel, we will bear the good fruit by which Jesus says we will be judged. May your life be nourished by the seeds of life, which are the Word of God, and may your sacred moments be filled with the truth of being created in His image and likeness. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Melissa Juarez, Executive Director at Hope House, for all that she does. If you would like any information about this ministry, or if you would like to volunteer, please call her at 361-852-2273. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
This has been Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. If you'd like to hear this or a previous program again, or download it to your device, browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Religious Education, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.